episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
Good evening, good morning, good afternoon. Welcome to wherever you are on Bongversations episode number 19. To me, it's the 15th of December in 2024, and Dave's on the 14th of December 2024.
Correct.
So we've got an awesome show tonight. We're going to be discussing all sorts of things from the Invaders through to Space 1999 and probably all over the place after that. So, Dave, welcome to Bongversations episode 19. How are you going, man?
Doing well, Rick. Cheers. Thanks for being around. I was thinking we would start. You remember old Jelly from Hawaii Five-0? Jack Lord, Jack, right?
Yeah.
Jack Lord.
So Steve McGarrett.
Yep, Steve McGarrett. Book him. With the Invaders series, he was in an episode called Vicar, V-I-K-O-R, season one, episode five. I find this interesting because he played when the David Vincent character comes in. He's the character that goes from episode to episode.
The architect.
The architect of the idea. So he goes to this guy's company and he applies to be a chauffeur for the man's wife, and the idea is to get into McGarrett's company where of course he's playing a czar or overlord. What's more important about the idea is that these aliens are identified by a certain defect or the fact that they can't bend their little finger, right? Yep. So then they're able to be identified. And also that they can be regenerated using cells, which were introduced in the first episode of Invaders. So this whole idea is kind of introduced of these invaders that are on Terra Firma. Invading in saucers, and that the David Vincent character, the architect, you know, the architect is also the idea of the grand architect is the one who has to then build a resistance or a rebellion against this takeover.
Yeah.
So they have regenerating machines, and these regenerating machines are the idea that needs to be manufactured or mass produced in order for this whole operation to happen. So then it's the idea of David Vincent chasing around here and there, these different little manufacturing plants from happen. And in this particular episode, of course, McGarrett, or I call him that, but it's a Jack Lord character. He plays the plant manager. And what he does is he is convinced that if he gives up basically humanity, gives up his humanity, what he knows to be true, he can then live this life of luxury for a short time. It's still a finite time. It's not a forever deal. You'll live comfortably. Mankind is enslaved. You'll live deliciously, which is what happens even where you have those that live at certain levels you know, above their station and what should be their station. It's just that if you're able to hide certain things or certain so-called truths from the mass, you'll be paid for. Of course, all you have to then give up is your humanity.
Right? So it's got that same Satan, Jesus.
That
archetype.
It's always that back and forth. Yeah. Remember we talked about that whole back and forth with the, where you have the aliens or of course the demons idea. It's just really how do you tell a story that introduces the character or the idea or the power? You say, how do you want our, do you want to be little green men, gray men, spirits,
or clowns?
Clowns.
From it.
Yeah, clowns like it. So yeah, so the little finger in this episode, it can be seen by not bending their little finger. It sticks out to the side. This, however, goes beyond this idea of a TV show. It goes into to those that run this place, or so-called Hollywood, the magicians, the witches, the Jews that are not Jews. You have the idea of the little finger of the Zion. Now the Zion, which is represented by the little finger, and its number value is 7, by the way, that no prizes there. So, it represents the smallest, the smallest appendage, you know, the small finger, but all so small, little, insignificant. But it's also the idea of majesty or victory or glory, which is the idea of the 7th spot on the so-called tree of life. So it's the smallest, but it's versatile, the most versatile. It's also the only part that you want to then engage in the world. Right. So you teach then that you are of the world, but you're not, you're part of the world, but you're not of the world, that idea. So you're here and you exist, you know, within the different, societies, whether you live in a city or a small town, you're still living within a world and people who are really, possessed by these alien spirits, you know, and you, so then what it is that little finger is the idea of the only thing that's touching that. So you only exist by that small amount. So then there's two ideas there, Rick. And if you go to the simple gematria of the 137, you have, so what can that input then be? Or what can that grounding be? If you have the positive and negative side of that idea, on one side you have, just think about the dollar bill, for example. You have the Eye of Horus, which is 137. You have the Great Pyramid, which is 137, and also mind control.
Well,
this
is English gematria, or what gematria do you?
You always use the language you're speaking.
Okay,
we're speaking English, so I'm always using English.
Okay,
all right. So then, on the positive side of 137, which is 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, the idea of the 1-1 is always the one standing before one, or the concern. It's like you have 7 days, you have the idea of 7 days of creation. You have in the beginning, and you have the Lord comes. So then you have this idea on the positive side of the 137, or the balance, the Zion. You have in the beginning, you have the Lord comes, you have these ideas of a salvation idea. And then you have the idea on the negative side, which is also the same number, 137, Zion, but it's Eye of Horus and all that comes with that idea. Horus, the idea of becoming a slave to the system. Great Pyramid, the idea of being underneath the all-seeing so-called eye. And then you have mind control, just quite simply the idea of stories given with just absurd, you know, answers to questions. Let's say, for example, this whole drone idea, this whole drone hoax story. So you have these nonsense stories, which are just obviously, they're just obvious cons. And yet the public mass has allowed themselves to be so dumbed down that the so-called official powers don't even have to try to come up with a good cover story, quote unquote cover story.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you've got CNN. Yeah. Which is con spoken phonetically, con CNN. Literally, story after story. The other night I spotted when I was accidentally watching a CNN show.
Right.
They were just drone this, drone that. Where are they coming from? Who are they? They're trying to blame Iran. One of the stories. It's just everywhere.
It's a left and a right. It's a whipsaw. It's the idea of when you take metal and you bend it back and forth, it's going to snap. At some point.
Yeah.
Now let's go back to the idea of the UFO then, and then the show that you know, UFO.
Yeah, 1969, Jerry Anderson.
Jerry Anderson, right?
Yeah, 21 century, and you picked up the 21. As soon as there's 21, you got your 3/7.
Yeah, and also you were mentioning about how the opening logo shows.
Yeah, it's 21 Century Production starts off with this high-pitched whistling sound, and on the angle you've got 21 with C, and all of a sudden this howling high-pitched noise comes, and an arrow or a spear or a jet comes straight into the middle of it, but on the side of the one, on the inside of the one. Very similar, eerily similar to the tower, that we saw in 2021.
So that's your 9/11 reference. And of course that's always going back to the idea of bringing down one's pillars, the idea of Samson, the idea of pushing the Jacob and Boaz pillar, you know, the J&B, knocking the bottle down. We've gone through all that. So it's like, so with the UFO show, and do you know if 10 letter anagram for his name is androgyne, which is the idea of the male female.
Of Jerry Anderson.
Yes. So within his name is androgyne.
Well, you know, I'll tell you this. It's you're right, because it's made up name, because his real name is Hungarian Jewish Hungarian, I do believe. Yeah. It changed his name to the Jerry Anderson. So you're right. It's a created name.
Yeah.
For sure.
So within there is not only androgyne, which is your male female, but also non-readers. So it's the idea of giving stories to those who aren't going to read. So just give the mass this idea. So within this UFO show that you were watching as a young impressionable lad.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a cross between 2001 A Space Odyssey, Austin Powers, Space 1999 early, and Playboy Mansion. That's like if you mixed all that together, that's what the beginning UFO would be.
Well, interestingly, the same, it was filmed in Pinewood Studios using the same sets as 2001 Space Odyssey. So there's a big link there. I've already gone on about this to no avail. Unless only you and Napoleon Wilson, the only two people who I thought had any interest in my theory back in the day.
Well, you have the Pinewood. Remember, the Pinewood also deals back with the Back to the Future, where the Lone Pine and the Twin Pines.
That's right.
Mall. Exactly. So that's the Pinewood, and it also goes back to the Testament, the temple. Mm. So
and also for burial, you know, a pine coffin.
Yeah, old pine box. The old dirt.
And also, I just have to emphasize this. My biggest takeaway of putting two and two together with Kubrick and UFO
Kubrick.
Production show, Kubrick, was that the studios, so the takeaway of UFO in some ways is that the fact that it's about a film studio pretending, so NASA is a film studio which is masking itself as a space agency, but in UFO, the actual studios are a film studio that, in actual fact, is a space agency. They are using their warehouses to build spacecraft, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a complete inversion of NASA in every way. yeah, in every way.
So I was noticing, it's like I was looking just to kind of to get to the end of this, and to me it's like Space 1999 is a bit more less kind of Austin Powers than UFO. It's more straight laced, and then more straight laced. Yeah. And I was noticing that the last Space 1999 deals with the idea of an alien race, or, you know, high level, trying to extract the brainstem from the science officer Maya. So what they're doing is they're basically trying to keep a record or to retrieve a record.
And yeah, of course, I know the episode. Yeah.
Yeah. So that, and then of course that ends, and then I won't tell you what happens, of course. And then, and of course the end of, UFO ends with the idea of a 10-year coma or a sleep or waking from a sleep.
That's right. Right? Yeah.
From an illusion or from the idea. It's quite interesting. And that's where that ends. And that's just done with. It's over. All right. So, and what was interesting about that is you have Maya, where they're trying to take the idea of her, and this is the end of Space 1999, the last episode, Maya, the so-called science officer, who's only in the second actually season as well. So if you look at Maya,
she can morph into anyone. She can change her appearance. Yeah. So she's got that whole, man becomes woman, woman becomes man.
Yep.
Top weird.
Andrew, the old Andrew John. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, good spot, man. So then, and then you notice in Maya is also the idea of illusion or magic. And in Hebrew, it's just like if you take a look at that, it would be the idea of water. So if you want to look at in the older new, do a word study on water and see what that word's, but there's the spiritual idea of water, which is walking on water or walking above the noise of the world. And of course you could go to see that in Matthew 14. There's your double seven idea. And in the idea of Greek, Maya would be the idea of a good mother versus a bad mother. All right. So then they're taking the essence of Maya. So the alien race was trying to take the essence of Maya. And that's what that last episode was about.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah. So I was thinking that with UFOs, you have kind of jumping into more modern, movies. You have the idea of Independence Day with the Bill Pullman character. And speaking of names, like, what do you think of when you say a Bill Pullman? A bill is the idea of a something that is due, right?
You have
bill for something. And then a Pullman is the idea of pulling a man, or the idea of what's pulling, what bill is pulling the man. So well, then,
also I picked up, if you look at a digital clock and you ever see it turning into, 6:11, it goes 6.LL, you know, 11. That's
right.
Bill. It looks like Bill on a digital clock. So Bill has a kind of a coding of 11, 6, 6:11 in it for sure.
Mm. Very interesting. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. So then Bill Pullman, the idea. So if you have him going in the movie, now let's get, do you want to go to a real life drone story then?
Yes, no, I'm fascinated about this one.
Now, here's what happened. Now, this would have been between 2012. A lot happened in 2012, 2014.
Yep.
In the gap between the digital space, which is dealing with people online and putting out videos, and the physical space, which is people were dealing with me. And one of those times I was out in the back, smoking a Jaybird.
Surprise, and then
a blue light went by my eye, like the corner of my eye. A blue light flashed by. I could see like a blue flash. That was weird. So I'm looking around. What was that? And then another blue flash went into my eye. And then I looked down. I didn't look up at all. But I just knew something wasn't right. And then I was I looked around, I looked into the side of my house in my window, and I saw what looked like a boomerang. And I'm going to jump to the end of the story and then jump back to where we just left off, just so you get it. So I'm at the end of the story. I'm yelling down the street, "You better run, you fat ass." And the reason that I'm saying this is, now this guy was holding what looked like a boomerang under, 6 foot tall, you know, a little bit fat in the gut, but he had it like he was running with a surfboard, if you can imagine that. So it was a pretty good sized piece of equipment. Now jumping back to my window, I see this thing in my window with a blue light that looks like the, if you remember the Cylons, where they had their little visor light would go back and forth.
Battlestar Galactica.
Yep. It went back and forth, but this was a blue light. Very, very similar to the original Independence Day movie poster of the blue light going into the White House. It's now since changed to red on some of the stuff. So then.
Oh, that's interesting.
The blue light. I could see in that now blue light is the idea of a calming light, but it's also up at the 475 nanometer range, which is very close to indigo and violet, depending. All right. And so, or what's known as purple. Or the 445 nanometer range. Now that's a gateway range, because 445 is 13, which is your crown or corona, and it's also reduced to 4. So it's the idea of a gate. So it's the idea of a mind control type device. Now this thing was flashing. So what happened was I ran around the backside because it went.
Where were you when this
in my happened? Backyard?
Where, in my house. What state?
This is California. Okay. Yeah.
Gotcha.
And now this thing was quiet as a church mouse. Zero noise, no blades, none of that stuff.
Okay. As opposed to the ones that are showing on CNN at the moment.
Yeah. Making a lot. And it was moving on us, but I knew it was too. You just sense it. Yeah. I just knew it. And then this thing just moves up and goes around the tree, and I run out into the front to look for it. And there it is, like it's starting to screw with me. So I'm like, these guys are starting to screw with me. So what I did was I crouched down. I kind of pretended to crouch down because it was a little bit dark, and I grabbed my sprinkler starter, which it looks like it's a piece of metal with a little hook at the end, and so you can twist the valve on and off. And I crouched down, and as soon as it got low enough to me, I jumped up, I swung at it, and I caught the bottom of it, and it started to like go a little bit out of control. And it went up and over the tree, it went over the house behind me, and then I heard it hit the street behind. I could hear like a composite material hitting the asphalt of a blacktop street. So I start hauling ass around the corner. I'm running, ha, 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 ha. And then I see these two dudes running. I was like, "Where are you going?" And then they were running off to the left and to this other street. And I see these other two dudes running the other way, which was back towards my house, because there was, unfortunately for me, there was four different ways these people could get out of there.
Had you been an online presence stuff at the stage yet? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Gotcha.
This was when I had already gotten sweated by Monogram. That online. This was when they had already sent over people to try and give me free, you know, home security systems, no obligation, anything to try and get in there, man. I was like, no. Oh, I have all kinds of, so these guys are, I'm like, dude. So I start running around. I run around the store, and then I see this guy with a kind of a pot belly gut holding this thing like a surfboard, and two of them are running this way. I said, "You better run, you fat ass." And then, he was just too far away because there was a park there. And so there was four guys. It was a four man team, and they were just obviously dudes, dudes. But that drone, quote unquote, was nothing like these things that they're showing now. And it was quiet as a church mouse, and it moved, I would say electromagnetically. It was quite.
Well, Dave, there's no doubt, having spent many, 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 many years into the UFO, and got worked out. I was being conned. It was all man-made. Mm-hmm. There's two different technologies that you're seeing there. You got your one, the drones that we get as, for us, which make an awful lot of noise. And then there's the ones that the military seem to have, which do not make any noise whatsoever.
Mm. That's the one I saw. And then after that, I was never bothered by them again with that. But there was, I'll save this for another time. There was a weather related incident, which I'll save for another time, but I'll get back to the kind of what we were talking about. And with this idea of the invasion or like the invasion or with Independence Day and the Bill Pullman character is, there's a TV show. It was on NBC. It was a miniseries, 4 hours long, I'd say, of Bill Pullman playing an astrophysicist, where they were looking for the Christ child who was supposed to have been born.
What was the name of the show? Do you remember?
It was called Revelations.
Revelations. Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah, 2005. Just put Revelation 2005, you'll get it. And the idea, however, is if you go back to this idea, is that the Christ child was born from the sea. So you already know from the beginning that this is the idea of the Antichrist child, obviously.
Yeah.
So the Bill Pullman character, and there's just one particular scene where if you pay attention, that he's an astrophysicist. So he gets a call. He says, "Hey, we've got this thing between Arcturus and Izar." And I was thinking, I said, well, that's in the Butis, constellation, so-called, which is a northern sky constellation. And the idea of Arcturus is a watcher. All right. And it's also a king's throne in the Chinese. And it goes back to Elil or Bel. All right. Which you know who is Bel. That's the earth, wind and fire, the idea of seasons or the prince of the air or the god of the air or Satan. Now Izar simply is the idea of star. It's just the idea of a star or the idea of a revelation star. So then that would have been the Arcturus star, or that star being Satan's star. Because if you pay attention when they watch, they say, oh, it's not going to be rising in the east, but by the time it gets there, it will be rising in the west. So then that's the idea of what at that point would be the morning star.
Which I is found that Lucifer, the morning star.
Depending on the idea, if you're speaking about Revelation or end times, all right?
Yeah.
So Arcturus now is also the watcher, but he's also the idea of the ox driver or the plowman or the herdsman or the pullman. Yep. You get it?
Interesting.
Yeah. So then that's also the idea of a shepherd. So then you have the shepherd, which is Lord Jesus Christ, or the bad shepherd, which is the Antichrist, or those who then follow the way of the world, or follow that Zion or balance, right? Because remember when I told you the balance, the idea of the 50-50, the idea of one's balance or mindset, is the same as apple in simple gematria. Apple equals 50. So it's like, so then that, that's where that story comes from, the idea eating the apple, the idea of becoming balanced or imbalanced, depending on if you eat a lot of truth, right?
Yeah.
So that's where that whole balance comes from. So then this is the idea of a child being born from the Aegean Sea, which is, if you go back to the scripture, it's all over the place, but Aegean Sea, especially within Acts 16, discusses a dream or a vision of someone being called to a faraway land to fulfill something. So then I wanted to say that if you look at how this character is used through movies, he's also used through Independence Day, this idea of bringing in the idea of invasions from space, which is kind of the hoaxy card they're pulling now.
Right, as we speak.
And then you have the Bill Pulley man who pulls you towards the idea of this continuation, really. And I should mention that the continuation of Omen, which is this Revelation 2000 miniseries. The reason I say it's a continuation of the Omen series is because within the show, one of the characters says that they need to find the works of Bugenhagen. Now, do you remember Bugenhagen was the...
No.
Oh, you don't? No. Okay. No. Well, Bugenhagen, priest who was talking with the ambassador, where he was telling him that he was going to have to kill his child and how...
Oh,
he,
and this is in Revelations you're talking
yeah,
about.
And, yeah, and how he was going to have to visit the city of Megiddo and the old town of Jezreel and find the old man that he was telling him that he was going to have to get the seven, you know, there you, with the seven daggers in order to take out Damien. So that goes all the way back to that. So they actually
to the omen.
So it goes back to the omen. So it's the same Bugenhagen character who they're talking about. So it's like it just kind of keeps bringing this forward. So the idea of and how it works into today, and you have Damien, which is the idea of you have UFO, which is 42 in simple gematria, UFO 42, the answer to everything, that idea. 42 is also 9 in INE, 999. It's also Damien.
Well,
so then you see how, but guess what else it is? It's YMCA. So now that's why you have the Trump character constantly with the stupid YMCA nonsense.
Yes, you know, I noticed that. You know, why would that be? Yeah.
Well, because now you know.
Now I know. Yeah,
now you know. Now you know. Yeah. So then that's what's bringing that in. And also, if you recall the first episode of UFO with the 42, with the idea of 9, with the idea of Damien and YMCA, they introduced the first person shooter view in the episode where they're shooting the kid and the lady.
Yeah, gotcha.
It was in first person view. Like an assassin view.
Yeah.
Do you see?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
everything melds in. I mean, we're going all over the place here, but it all ties in.
Well, it all ties in because it's all the same story. So I could waste your time and just tell you one thing at a time, where I could go across several and show you that they're all telling you this, that they're all giving you the same story.
Yeah.
So all of those stories, because the reason that they all tie in is that because certain characters play within the different movies or roles together. So then, let's say the Bill Pullman, he'll bring in these different characters, and then within those same movies, there'll be other actors who you say, "Oh, I've seen him, and I've seen him," and you know, and so there are certain characters that you accept to play.
So these are archetypes that are being reused again. Being reused again and again and again. Yeah, no surprise.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Nice of it.
So then the idea of the Bugenhagen also, it goes beyond this character. It goes to the idea of an enclosure, or like the idea of a containment, or the idea of a bender or bowing. Now, if you bow to an idea, that becomes your boogie or your boogeyman. Your boogeyman. What then if you look at the idea of foundation, because we started with the finger idea, the little finger, and it's like where you dip your finger, if that's in the dike in the world, that's going to power then the rest of the body.
Yeah.
So then if you then look at the idea of the F ring, and this is going into the idea of Saturn lights and those, these movies that worship the lights in the sky, and why there are certain numbers that are shown in these movies, is if you look at what's called the F ring or the six ring or the present ring of Saturn, it's, there's two formations or two powers that then intersect or act internally with it, and that's called Prometheus and Pandora. They call them moons.
Would you say that blends? Look, I've never seen this movie. Apparently, it's the biggest movie ever, James Cameron's Avatar. But Pandora is the moon, and it's a living entity. Pandora is a entity, and the moon on the. Discuss the film.
Yeah, exactly, Rick. These entities, Prometheus, all these different lights, they're the idea of what's, then if the idea of Lucifer or Satan takes with him powers, these are then the powers that I'm talking about. So then Pandora would be the of the first woman or the moon. The moon is the idea of fallen light in this idea. So the first woman, the idea of the character. And then also, the original story is not so much of a box. That's more kind of but it's a jar. Now, the jar is the idea of releasing
was it evils. Was Pandora box or a Pandora that was a jar?
It was a jar. And then, so the only thing left in there was what's called hope. All right. So she releases suffering and misfortune and all that stuff idea, and hope remains. The idea of hope, you can hope for this and you can hope for that. You can, you know, do this in one hand and the other in the other and see what fills up first type idea. Now, Prometheus is the idea of foresight or fire. That's the idea of the snake or the serpent or the fruit offering you the light. Now, that's the idea of fire, right? That's the idea of fire given to humanity. Fire is, of course, the light or ideas. And, of course, that goes back to ideas, even when we were talking about in the balance idea of the Zion or the little finger. It's like, what is this, the 137, the mind control? What is the Eye of Horus? What does that represent to you? What does the Great Pyramid represent to you? You know, if you look into it, you see that they're just... amusement parks, as in amusement, like a muse, like a ghost story. It's a hoax story. So if you then identify the idea as a negative power that's trying to influence or trying to be put onto your balance and to trying to disharmonize you, then you can go ahead and relieve that by dismissing it from you. So Pandora and Prometheus and these different powers and lights, which are actually here, because remember, according to the Book of Enoch, and just verifiable, you know, just look at it in your life. The only way you can be influenced by Satan or evil is to allow it to enter your head through thought.
Yeah, well, that's what archetypes. These the most powerful subliminal thing is these archetypes constantly, and ancient Egypt and pyramids, you'll find one of the most powerful archetypes ever unleashed. You know, there's, and it fits in with everything. You know, there's, it fascinates so many people across, from atheists to historians or to just normie people. These, the whole thing about the archetypes of the fire one with Prometheus,
right?
That's a big archetype. You've got the falling man one, which I say is the biggest one that I've spotted, you know, in modern times. Where you've got
the falling man is also the Tarot hangman,
yeah, exactly, yeah. And it was used extensively in 9/11. You saw that guy hurtling past the window, you know, supposedly walking upside down in the hangman position.
Trayvon Martin had the same hangman position. The Russian ambassador hoax had the same hangman position. So it's also the 12th major arcana. So then that, of course, 12th or 3. 3G is 7. The idea of 3G7. So it's the hangman. It's also then if you take the so-called Da Vinci man and turn it on his head, it's the idea
exactly
of sense.
The same thing.
It's the idea of senses hanging or the idea of where your head is where your ass is.
Sure. You know?
It's the holes got switcheroo, the old switcheroo.
Yeah.
Your in became your out hole.
Yeah. So brilliant.
I was thinking of something. Speaking of that, it's like, do you remember how kind of goofball that whole UFO thing was? Just how kind of shaggy it was. The airplane was called Shag Air. You remember that? It's like, well, because they kept like chasing the girls around, you know, and they were kind of eyeballing them, and it's named Shag Air. Come on now.
Yeah, well, that's a thing in itself too. You'll notice that these kind of sexual references are always stuck into your archetypical stories, and these are the media stories you get. You'll always get Dick Nixon. You get all of these Tricky Dicky for the president of America in 73, 74, whatever he was. There's always these kind of names, Shag Air. I've got a whole list of ones from supposed big real murder stories from the 70s or child abduction stories. And I read the names of the characters. I was going, these are just porn star names.
Yeah, they're all goofy as all get out, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, so I was thinking before I forget, like the idea of blue. Remember I had that incident with the drone
and the blue light. Yes.
You also have the idea of within MK Ultra lore, and this goes back for those that paid attention, you had the idea of a sub program called Bluebird.
And that's right.
And that's under LS, like the, then you also then have the idea of currently the idea of what was being advertised as Blue Beam. Blue Beam or the idea, which is the idea of projections in the sky.
Mm. What do you think about that? Do you think that technologies are there, or do you think it's
absolutely? In fact, most of what you see being put out of so-called chem planes are nothing more than
metallic particles,
self-patching, for lack of a better word, Skynet.
I'm with you there, man. 100%. Yeah.
And you'll notice after, let's say, a storm or a lot of high, they'll really come out and repatch it because it will patch itself, which is why you don't need to spray it all out. It just starts to spread out, and that's why by the afternoon it all looks like it's a big, like a evenly pulled sheet of cotton across the.
That's exactly what I was saying. Yeah. And I'm living in a zone that gets, not every day, but every now and then, say every few days, and it could go for 3 days and it stops. But it's just incredible, the sky shenanigans. And I mean, again, Dave, like yourself, I'm an older guy. I know what I saw in the 70s and the 80s. And I'm telling you now, I didn't see any of that.
You have to just go with what you see and what you know and what you can test. I did a movie in 2012, and it's on my YouTube, but I have a couple of screen grabs of some of what I consider to be the material, which I captured. And I'll just say that when I looked at it, I had it pulled down to me, and I put it into a jar, and I checked it under the microscope, and it looks like a little piece of fiber optic material, glass, that's shaped like a 7. And I thought to myself, I said, man, that reminds me of monkey hooks. Remember the little barrel of monkeys?
Barrel of monkeys.
So I said, these things just hook, and then they just spread out.
Well, I'm there with that, man. Totally.
And of course, I was thinking the close encounters kind of story comes into what's been going on too, because they'll at any point, even within the close encounters movie of the third guy,
the idea
is they'll just make up a story and move people out. So that there never even has to be anything. There just has to be the idea
a train crash yeah. or a leak of some gas, and next thing you know, there's men in white suits pushing you away. So it's terribly dangerous.
Just completely made up. And so just keep that in mind as well. So then that's that idea goes into the
Ohio.
Yeah,
100%, 100%. So you'll notice that everyone in Ohio hasn't died yet, but they reemphasized that story though by putting that Netflix film out, starring that strange guy who keeps appearing in all these movies, Adam Driver. He seems to pop up an awful lot. So I always say, watch his movies and keep an eye and take some notes when you're watching a movie that he stars in, because you're going to get some very interesting predictive programming in those films, guaranteed.
Yeah, guaranteed. And what I find interesting about it, to go back to this Pullman character, is that in the movie he did, The Serpent and the Rainbow, in 88.
That
deals with Wes Craven, who deals with the idea of Nightmare on Elm Street, which
you've got your JFK motif, and that is with Elm Street.
And you also have the idea of all happening within state, and what makes the idea of, now what's interesting about the Serpent in the Rainbow idea is that it's a pharmaceutical story at the beginning, meaning that there's a pharmaceutical company that wants to get access to this so-called zombie kind of mixture so that it can be used as an anesthesia, right, for actual surgery and whatnot. And then, so that's when the actual Bill Pullman character into searching for stuff and gets into his little adventure, which you'll have to watch it if you can deal with it. I just find that at the end, once everything is over, that the proclamation at the end is that the nightmare
just beginning.
And what's interesting about that is when you have so-called nightmare is over scene, and then you have the scene at the end where there's this reflection in the mirror, where it's like, well, it's not over.
Fantastic. That was a great film. Bill Pullman's what you call every man American. He's a every man American. He's a likable. He should have been a politician. Right. He could easily have been a politician. I do believe these characters that we've got in Hollywood were given choices: musician, actor, politician. One of the three. Right. What do you want to be? Because you've got that charisma that people can identify with. You've got your choices. Make it up now. And Chevy Chase is a great example. You know, it was the Chase Manhattan Bank family, you know, and extremely wealthy. Could have been a drummer for Steely Dan, but chose to be a comedian actor. Could have done. So they're given choices. They're bred for this purpose, I do believe.
Yeah, and my favorite. Pullman for sure. Yeah, my favorite Chase movie would have been Fletch, where he plays
it. I love Fletch. I loved Fletch. Yeah. I said the man who changes identities more often than his underpants.
And his
gift of lying. So Chase could have been a politician. He should have been the president of America, because he's got the gift of lying to you, looking at you in the eye, and you saw that in Fletch.
And of course, Chevy Chase was good in Fletch. Joe Don Baker, any movie he's in, he just
chews the scenery up. He is fantastic.
I like him too. He's like, he's one of my favorites to watch on Mystery Science Theater, his Joe Don Baker movies.
Joe Don Baker played the detective in that Fletch.
Yeah, he sure did. Yeah.
Eyeshide. Was it Eyeshide? Yeah. What was his TV show? Eyeshide, I think it was. Great character actor who also appeared in the Robert De Niro movie when they remade that film with playing the serial killer guy getting back out of jail to get revenge on his.
I don't do what's his name movies. I can never see him. I can only see the top of his head. He has to get higher lift shoes. I can only see the top of his head anytime I see his movies.
I got to say, you know, he played the same character all the time. Like, yeah. You think I'm funny? You think I'm funny? The same actor. Joe Pesci plays the same guy in every single film. And I think you're right about Robert De Niro, who plays the same character in every film.
That's their role that they're given, though. And then people don't, they're not watching the best actors and actresses and all that in the movies. They're watching the best actors and actresses that are given to them.
Yeah.
You know,
and you'll find the best actors, the best actors were given the role of politicians and musicians often because a lot of those are just actors.
And even the better actors are at your local, you know, Five and Dime and your local, you know, right around.
Yeah.
Better, you know, who have better stories and are more, you know, engaging.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. For sure, man.
Yeah. All right. For sure. Is there any other TV shows? Because I think you mentioned you wanted to go into something after Space 1999, which I'll just have to bring this up.
Go ahead.
Space 1999 was about the premise of the whole thing is that mankind was storing nuclear waste on the moon. On the dark side of the moon, and one day it blew up, and it sent guess how many people into the ether, into hurtling through the universe? 311. That's your CK.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's also remember it's your Revelation 311. Let no man steal your crown or your mind.
Exactly. So that was part. Jerry Anderson put that right. That number was right into the space 1999. Which is also 666 if you turn it upside down.
Oh yeah, for sure, man. And the Landau character though, it's the only thing I could never really get too much into him. He's a little stuck up.
So Barbara Bain and Martin Landau were the main stars of the original Mission Impossible, which also starred Leonard Nimoy as Paris as the master of disguise. This is before Peter Phelps. / James Arness's brother, Peter Graves, came in as the character that Tom Cruise plays in his Mission Impossible films. But those two actors were very big in the 60s as Mission Impossible. Next thing you know, they turn up in this moon, the story of this planet, the moon hurtling, half the moon, rather, hurtling into the universe and meeting all sorts of strange aliens. All along the way, full of stuff though. Full of stuff. Highly recommended to watch if you're into weird stuff. Which I
am. Like I say, that's why they were trying to get data stream, Maya's data stream there in the last episode is because to get all of that from the travel was to download all of. From the travels of the series.
I've actually got that episode on a CD. I'll have to rewatch those episodes, Dave.
Yeah, man.
I'll be doing that over the Christmas period, which we've got, I think it's a week and 2 days, and we're going into Christmas. Do you celebrate Christmas or with your family, or do you just call it a normal day?
It's just a day,
So we have work. Do you work?
What day of the week is it?
It's Wednesday? Tuesday. Tuesday is Christmas Eve. Wednesday is Christmas Day.
Yeah, I'll be working.
So would I. If someone rings me up and says, can you work? I'll say yes. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, I'll be working. Problem. Yeah, because if I don't work, me no work. The 21st, a week from today, and we can do a couple of two right off my head. Miracle on 34th Street.
Yes, absolutely.
And then
lock it in, Dave.
It's a Wonderful Life. Yeah.
Yep. To those two movies.
Yeah.
James Stewart. Fantastic. Another mysterious character. Another mysterious character.
The beginning, one of the first scenes in preview. One of the first scenes in It's Wonderful, he's kind of prancing across the city square into the shop to get, you know, to get his bag, and he's all hyped up, and he's talking about, and he's going to put, you know, bumper stickers on his arm. I was like, man, when I was, it's going to be me too. I'm going to travel everywhere too. I said,
well, there you go. Well,
I still love that scene, man. It's like, yeah.
Well, you know, that's one of the most powerful, that movie
mm-hmm.
is Wonderful Life and Miracle on 31st Street. Is it?
34th. 7, 7, 7.
why did I even question it? Those that, if maybe not with the new generation, but back in the day, those films were always played on TV on Christmas Day or the Christmas Eve or maybe Boxing Day. You will get those films. There's obviously very important stuff in those things. So I can't wait. Actually, I'll try and watch one of them. I don't know if I'll guarantee that I can watch both of them again, but I'll watch one of them again just so I can be more fresh for next Sunday.
You know, it's so interesting about that first scene is how that first scene, if somebody hasn't seen it, maybe they for that, but first scene manifests to the end, to where it either does or does not come true as far as what his plans were.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it things don't always work out the way that it's out for the best.
Kind of we've got to do that. I'll be looking forward to that. That'll end up being the greatest show we've ever done, because this one's been better than the last one. And so I think, though, this episode is way more out there. We've tied in and gone over a lot of different shows.
Well, yeah, there are some very, yeah, we had to as well, because we...
This is like a sawn-off shotgun version of a... it's not a precision rifle, it's sawn-off shotgun. It's blowing lots of different areas out of the water.
Because you have like your 26 episodes of this show, 26 of that show. It's like, man, we just got to jump to the point, because like the point of Invaders is that's like the tell. What's the tell? Yep. It's like kind of boom, boom, boom. And also the idea of the the 19, or the idea of the metonic cycle, the idea of the resetting, but also 1 + 9 = 10, the idea of say 10. So 1 + 9, say it, 10. So then you see how you have the say 10 idea within the 19. So the say 10 idea is simply what does one say one's IO is? So simply, what is one's input equals their output? And that is where all these different stories tie into. They all give all these different inputs. However, almost all of these inputs create a false output if you
between Space 99 and Independence Day, there's times there, you know.
Oh yeah,
sure. And yeah, I mean, Independence Day is a big film to me. When I was sitting there in 2001 on September the 11th, watching the news footage on the local news channel on whatever show we were watching, I said to my then partner, whoever she was, I do know, but whoever she was, I said, this is Independence Day. I said, are you watching? I was pointing to the screen, and she obviously was shaking her head. This guy's mad. And I said, that is Independence Day. There's a girl running down the street and there's this explosion of dust coming behind them. And I said, that is the Independence Day film. Can you see that? And obviously, you know, we're not together anymore. Obviously, there's a bit of there with that one.
Yeah.
People can't see these things, Dave. Or we can. We can. And that's why most people don't really – it's taken them a long time to get up to this kind of level of media fakery and archetype. Inclusions in your life. You've got to understand the archetype, and you've got to understand this repetitive imagery that you've always had, whether you knew it or not, but we're telling you now, it's always been in your life. It's going right back to the architects that turned up in all these movies, always an architect, the lead actor. You've got, you know, that's an archetype, and then you've got, and you're right, Mr. Brady was an architect.
Yeah.
There's a number of, I think even Nat, I don't know if you remember this one, but Nanny and the Professor, which was a sequel, it was a very strange show that starred Hayley Mills' oldest sister, Juliet Mills. She played basically, we worked out that she was actually a witch she had special powers. She played a nanny that came and looked after three kids for a professor.
Richard Long.
Yeah. Dick Long. Yeah, there you go. We're just saying that. There's another there with that one. And
man, you know, the little, she looks very similar to the poltergeist.
Well, very similar look. There'll be a there. And every now and then on Professor, she, even though the character was not meant to be, have special powers, she would show the audience that something would mysteriously happen. And again, Juliet Mills, Hayley Mills, these are Disney actresses of the highest magnitude.
Mm-hmm.
And Sir John Mills, another show in the future, I'll be talking about him. This guy was he was a somebody. And he got, Disney gave him lifetime membership to all of Disney Studio. He got this amazing award from Walt Disney himself, Sir John Mills. That was the father of Juliet and Hayley. And Hayley played, obviously, the parent trap, where that basically you got your twins.
Right.
Yeah, twin tear. You know, we don't even get, we can go on about that. In the future, there's another story show to go into, the Mills daughters. But Nanny and the Professor came out around the same time as The Ghost of Mrs. Muir was on TV. So you had your ghosts, you had your live people, and you had very interesting character actors back in the 70s. Charles Nelson Reilly. I'll tell you, Dave, this is what we got to do, and we'll have to save this to the new year, but the guys that did Puffin Stuff and Lidsville, if you want to go and research those shows in the next few weeks, this was acid kids shows coming out of California with Buffy and what's his name, and Sigmund and the Sea Monsters.
It was kind of like a bunch of puppet type stuff.
Yeah, they had puppets and they had live actors, but there's some strange stuff.
A lid is an amount of cannabis. It's the amount of bud that would fit onto the top of the lid, and then you'd put that into a sack. So a lid is
maybe
cannabis.
Maybe that's why they call it that. I'm telling you,
Puffin Stuff?
Yeah.
Puffin Stuff?
Yeah, you've got your there with that one. Witchy Poo. And also starred, I watched these. We were watching shows. So I was, you know, 6 years of age, 7 years of age, 8 years of age, whatever. 71, 72, 73. That we were saturated with this weirdest TV shows I've ever seen, focused on children with out there concepts. And Charles Nelson Reilly would pop up in every one of those shows. Raving homosexual character actor, very funny character actor. Mm. But, I think we'll do that, actually. If you want to do some research into those three shows. And we'll talk about that because I'm telling you, man, you're going to get a minefield. You will be, it'll be like a gold seam of information from those three shows because they were good stuff. Anyway, I think we've destroyed enough minds in the future. Have you picked up anything interesting from your supplier?
I'm doing a fish book, which it's a very nice. I'm putting on some of my turmoil too, which I did. So this is kind of a Kim Dog Hindu Kush cross that I have now. Kush, which is a plant that kind of grows lower. It's not as susceptible to heat damage. you know, or cold weather damage, I should say, as well. Because some of your more skinny leaf sativas don't do well if the cooler. But Kush plants are lower to the ground, and they're a little bit better
when it comes to
so high. So if you're growing home grow, and you don't, and you're trying to, you don't want HPS, you know, you can probably do a 400. Just grow yourself some Kush. They're going to be a lot easier to maintain. You don't need to grow them as high.
It's a nice sounding word, Kush.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, Kush. Cushion. It's soft.
Cushy. Kush. Yeah, nice.
Kush. Yeah.
Nice little mental cushion to relax on.
Yeah.
And the buds are fat and easy to trim. That's what makes all the difference too. A lot of sometimes you get some buds that kind of popcorn on you. They'll kind of popcorn out the end of the grow cycle. Tough to get those nippers around there and get the little leaves off. But if you just grow a nice full Kush, it'll fit right in the palm of your hand. You can just zip them leaves right off. Very nice. And that's why it grows traditionally. It's a California, Pacific Northwest, Colorado, even of course in India or in the Hindu mountains, those elevations there. That's where it's going to come from.
That's definitely where they were heavily manufacturing that particular plant. The India, those mountains or whatever, that, and it's so prevalent in their culture.
Mm.
I just think there's something in that word Kush, you know, that Kush. Sounds, I like it. I like it. It's really
yeah,
nice.
It's definitely a nice bud. It's one that once you smell it, I've smelled that a bunch of times.
I'm going to ask you a question before we go out of left field here. Who do you think the Israelites were in the original day?
Who were the Israelites?
Yeah, and who are they now?
There's nobody now. You have Jews that claim to be Jewish who are not.
They're not Jews, and we can clearly see that by the...
That's Revelation. So that would be like, who's a Californian? I would almost want to say...
Okay, that's true. That could be a Mexican then, and it could be an American.
Yeah, because so-called Jerusalem and all these places, sometimes people will separate times in their head to where, oh, these people exist at this time by themselves, like they're a glass and they don't mix. But these are all cosmopolitan cities. There's people from all over. There's the Greek.
I think most cities were cosmopolitan.
Yeah,
back in the day.
They're all. Even within scripture, you have Jesus talking to the Greeks. You know, it's right there, man. It's not hidden. It's just sometimes people refuse to see because they want to read the story in verses instead of all as a whole. So it's like, what are black people claim to be Israelites? There's like so-called Semites who are just brown skin or claiming to be Israelites. It doesn't get you anything.
No, it's why
it doesn't get you anything.
I'm perplexed because I was thinking of the last song tonight. I just listened to it before. And I thought it's a great song, "The Israelites" by Desmond Dekker. And Dekker's got there's a code in that name. Dekker, there's a code in that name. Yeah. But great song. But a lot of black people and a lot of different people claim to be Israelites, but I don't know who. But could it be anyone that lived in that area say, "Yeah, I'm an Israelite."
You could. And then here's the idea also is if you just look at the word itself and just say, okay, well, what can I then take from it? I can give you an exact answer. Is real or is not real? That's all you need to worry about. Real or is not real? That's it.
And that's why, obviously you've got you got Isis, Ra, and El. You've got three gods in the word. But is real. And it seems to be, I think, as you say, Dave J says, if it sounds like it, it is it.
Yeah, So it is something. So when you test something, is it real? Keep it. If it's not real, let it go. And then if somebody says, are you Israel? Well, I am real.
I'm real. I'm real, man.
it's just quite strange because the idea, especially in this place, in this so-called world, if you have someone who's telling you that they're still concerned with their earthly life or their earthly treasure or their earthly comfort, then they do not know the Lord. What you tell them
is go into the desert and eat your gold and eat your cash and eat your Bitcoin and see how well you go.
So it's like what have you offered? Where does your table look? What does your spiritual table look like?
What's at your table? But if you're going to prepare a meal to entertain people, if you brought out gold, Bitcoin, cash, and say, I've cooked it up in the oven, see how it goes. It's not going to get you anywhere. It's not going to get you anywhere. It's going to literally have you starving for real truth and starving for real food. Mm. And Dave J brings the meat and vegetables and herb to the table.
Well, I'd also like to say this, you know, kind of just if people want to think about after the, because it's quite obvious to me, especially living out here in the desert, that this was a, it was covered with water, and as layer as the level went down, you especially see by Sedona and places like that, you see the red rocks. You see the straight lines, boom, boom, boom. You see all the different levels that it used to sit at for some amount of time where the sediment settled. So then I know that. And then I'm myself say, if I find any type of building that's buried under this ground, then that comes from before so-called Noah's flood. Because if the universe is the shape of the human eye, and it is, then you just fill up the eyeball with liquid until there's no more land visible. You have air, water, and an ark. That's your idea of your first flood. Once that water recedes, it goes back down because it returns to the fountains of the deep where it says it comes from, the inside of the eye. It returns, and then as land is re-exposed, then man starts to move out again. So if you take a napkin and you just drip water onto the napkin and you watch the little circle expand, that's the same way that man repopulated. So all man, all colors, all creeds started to move out just like that.
Yep.
So it's not as if you have people sprouting out of the ground over here. Anybody who was in a position before someone else was sent there. And just like with every other human endeavor, they were sent there with a cause or a reason or a motivation or bait, meaning that if you go to this land, we'll give you this amount of money. You just go ahead and start to farm it. Blah. We move forward. We take it from you. You wind up, your ancestors, three generations down the road, wind up being trailer trash,
That
cycle just goes over and over and because the so-called wealth is not passed down with the low class. It's just a constant recycling of kind of the goy class, the consumer class.
So
that covers all of that. I just wanted to kind of cover all of the there's a few deeper points in what I just said, which will kind of explain what people run into when they walk across this plane of existence, and will explain a lot of the so-called similar architecture found around the place. I said, if you're finding similar architecture of what was obviously a flooded building, you're looking at cities of Cain, and those existed prior to the flood. Because here's what a lot of these people won't do is they'll try to invent another timeline to say, oh, look at these buildings. These were buried. Wait a minute. Have you found the buildings from the first flood? If you haven't found them, then those are them. Obviously.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Those are them, obviously.
It's a fascinating subject, man.
Yeah. If you just follow the script and stop fighting with it, it's straightforward. It tells you what you're going to find, and then you find it. And then you find out, just like cats, just like dentists, the different powers that be, that the Mason classes went around ahead of the pack and started to repurpose these places, whether it be the Gaza Plateau or the Sun and Moon Pyramid in Mexico. They literally put caps on old mounds and claimed it was something new, claimed it was some Aztec civilization or some Native American this, that, or the other thing. All of that's is nonsense.
Because you've done the work, and Dave Jobe on YouTube. If it's still there,
but like I say, Rick, this is all the stuff that if you're not willing to go all the way, don't even start down the road.
You know? I agree. I think you either be prepared for some serious shocks in your life.
Yeah, but
and what you thought was your reality. You're going to get a fright when you realize that you've been lied to, man. You've been lied to.
And a lot of these shows, like we talked about, will show you some of this stuff. It will show you how the control grid works through communication. However, it uses stories that are, in fact, themselves BS to do it. So you have to be smarter. You have to be smarter than the show. Otherwise, you can watch all these different shows because they're all products of the beast system, but you can watch them all and never get any if you never move past the base level.
Yeah. Unless you listen to Bongversations episode 1 to 19, you're not going to find out.
Well, that's why we did those first episodes. The first few episodes, they're tough to get through, but if you don't have the prerequisite about the number, how can I talk to you about it? It's like I don't even want to take the time to know what you're talking about. Therefore, you're crazy. See ya.
If you still believe there's a nuclear atom bomb that's going to blow the entire country to pieces, and that Donald Trump has a finger on the button, then you better go back to sleep because you've just absolutely wasted your fucking life.
It takes you out of balance. It takes you out of harmony. And just know that the plumb bob, the so-called Masonic plumb bob, is not hanging in the center of balance. It's hanging on the right or the left of that pillar. It's actually hanging. It's actually the hangman that's hanging you in balance because the mind, you have some, and all the world does is offer you a plumb bob to balance it out, meaning it's going to give you some sort of cover story for you to put onto your scales to balance it out. You're like, that doesn't make any sense to me. They're going to offer you a cover story that you're like, okay. And then you put that mentally and it wages you for a while. However, if you actually look into it, you'll quickly find out that your balance is and all that stuff has to go. So that's that's what the idea of the plumb bob. It's about the idea of keeping man balanced while he's in balance, because the only way to balance an imbalance is to add more weight.
Anyway, Dave, on that note, I think this is one of the heaviest shows, the numbers shows, for sure. Even though we're just talking about TV shows, but it's gone into a lot of really heavy areas, and it's better than the last one, guaranteed, 100%. I'm not even going to argue with myself here, but I know this was a really good show. But you've got to be prepared to open your brain up and to start looking about and start listening to these things that are getting released on the Bongversations, especially the Metonic Cycle episode 19. Yeah. We've come around, and I think in the next, we're going to do the very interesting Christmas episode Christmas next stories. Week. And I think we'll do a few episodes on books after we come back from Christmas. And there's a lot of good authors, a lot of good books out there that'll be – we've done a lot of movies and a lot of TV shows. I reckon that we'll just concentrate on a few books, well-known books, back up, for five episodes, 10 episodes, whatever. All right, dude, I'm going to lead out with that.
We're going to listen to the – The bots on the way.
And I'm going to suggest the deck of the Israelites.
Get up in the morning, slaving for rest, so that the